I want to thanks God, but also I want to thank that women's ministry and personal ministry for preparing this recognition for Father's Day. If there is, I will say, a son and also a father that is actually proud this morning, that is David Miguel. You want to know why? You want to know why David Miguel is so proud to be a son this morning? How many of you got that opportunity to meet with David Miguel parents? Amen, a few of you. But they're here. How many of you say amen? And also David Miguel's sister is here. And his niece, I believe, and nephews. And wow, the whole family is here. Praise the Lord. Praise God for that. And thank you for being here with us today. And we just hope that this will be a joyful, beautiful day for you too. I see a few other faces here. Thank you for being here with us. Thank you for joining us. May the Lord bless you. For the past messages that we have had here, if you might recall, and I mentioned that this was going to be a sermon divided into three sermons, and this will be the third one, the last one of this series. We kick off with the message about why there is so much suffering. Do you remember? And did you get the answers from the Bible? Why? Does anyone remember? Why is there so much suffering? Huh? I heard a few voices here. Someone said sin because of sin. All right. But the answer to that is because of man's disobedience. That's what the Bible teaches, right? That it was because of man's disobedience. That's why we're suffering. And we will continue suffering, because that was the last message that we have. If you remember the title, we titled that message, A Long-Lasting, what? Vacation. Because if there is suffering and God loves us so much, we know that suffering is going to come to an end. And how many of you say amen to that? Suffering is coming to an end. And we learn from the Bible that if there is one person or one that needs vacation more than anybody else, that is Satan, our enemy. Right? Because we discover in the Bible that he is a deceiver. We discover in the Bible that he is like a lion doing what? So imagine that. How many of you have ever worked maybe a whole week, just 1 week, 24/7? How many of you? I don't think no one, right? But if you do, I believe you probably, after that, you'll be knocked out completely, and probably you'll need not just 1 week, maybe the whole month to recover. And in the Bible, we know that the deceiver, our enemy, Satan, the devil, is working 24/7 without ceasing, without stopping every single moment since he was thrown from heaven to earth. And he's still doing that. So if it's someone that needs a long, 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 long vacation, that is the devil. And we discover, right, that even us will have a long vacation. We're going to have how long? 1,000 years, the Bible said, that we will have 1,000 years. Okay? Where we'll be judging men. That's what the Bible said. We discovered that. There we'll discover why there was so much suffering. We'll discover why you suffer. We'll discover why those other people, okay, that we may not know them, but might have the same faith, why they also suffered. And do you remember that we talk about two resurrections? And I asked the question, at first I said, like, who would like to be part of the second resurrection? Is there anyone here who wants to be part of the second resurrection? See, you paid attention, huh? You did. So you learned, right? That in the first resurrection, who are the one who's going to be resurrected? Huh? The ones who also actually died in Christ. Amen? Those are the ones who are going to be what? Resurrected. And then, who other group is going to join them? Ah, the ones that are alive. But not just the one who are alive, but the one who are alive and remain faithful to Jesus. Because there's going to be a lot of people who's going to be alive. Because the Bible describes, in the book of Revelation, it describes that, you know, there's going to be a lot of people when Jesus returns, that they're going to be what? Running from one side to the other, from earth. Running to hide in the caves. Because what? They won't be able to what? Sustain in the presence of the Lord. And they're going to die. And then the ones who were faithful, who resurrected, and the ones who were alive. And by the way, I know I gave a Bible study about that 144,000. Okay? And of course, that's going to be another message, another sermon. But about that 144,000, okay, it's not that only 144,000 are going to be saved, because that's not what the Bible says. But if I want to give you a little glimpse to what that 144,000 represents, those are actually the group that is going to go through tribulation, the group that is going to remain alive when Jesus returns. And how many of you say amen? Because man, 144,000, how many people are there in the whole world? If only 144,000 are going to be saved, oh man. It's like winning the lottery, right? That's not possible. So, it's amazing how the Word of God describes every single thing that is going to happen, every event that is going to happen. And I don't know if we could project that, Sam. So our message for today, how to be free from fear and guilt. If I ask you this morning, how many of you have fears? Because I was leading you in those sermons, leading you to understand, okay, that even though we know what the things are that are going to happen, or what will happen even to the ones that are going to be faithful to the Lord, nonetheless, because we live in a sinful world, we live in fear. Yes or no? Do you live in fear? Believe it or not, that's our human nature. We live in fear. You know, the other day, I saw on the news people saying, like, oh, the 4th of July is coming. I better stay home. I'm not going to come out that day. That's what this person said. So what this person is basically telling you, that he has fear because of the 4th of July? Because he fears that something might happen, right? And we live like this every day. We live like this every day. As a matter of fact, even with the leadership that we have in this country, we don't know what might happen tomorrow. And we live in that constant fear. But if there is one fear, the man, and I believe even Christians, even ourselves, fear the most, is if I'm going to be safe or not. If I were to ask you this morning, are you going to be safe? I was hoping to hear amen. And if not, if you don't understand, you know, that part, I pray that hopefully this message, you will in a way, it will resonate with you, with your life. And to know that there is nothing to fear about. Because fear will lead you to guilt. Because if you fear that you're not going to be saved, it's because you are guilty. And nonetheless, the Bible said that all of you are, including myself. We are all guilty of something. But let's see what the Bible says about this. And I just want to start with a story. And I'm pretty sure most of you know about this story. And that it was on a hot, I'll probably say it, hot, humid day in July. For those of you that made in a way been in Europe, I mean, July in Europe is one of the hot and humid, especially in Germany. So this story occurred in Germany, 1505. How many of you were alive in the year 1505? I wasn't, I know for a fact. So this young student, okay, was a student that was studying on, you know, to become a lawyer. He was a law student. High calendar on event, road leading to the German of Stotterheim. Now this is one of that we call like the countryside of that of Germany. So when he was hiking along those roads, suddenly without warning, the sky became overcast and a heavy rain unleashed its fury. What normally happens when there is heavy rain? Yes, you might think that, right? But when we know that a harsh storm is coming, we have some signs for that. And that is what? Huh? Lightning, right? Thunder and lightning. So this traveler, okay, while he was hiking, guess what happened? Huh? A lightning close by. It didn't strike him. But it was close enough for him to be terrorized. For him to be in an amazed fear, thinking that it was the Almighty that had actually struck him down. Guess who this man is? It was Martin Luther. Luther actually at that point cried out to I would probably say his patron saint, you know, Saint Anne, who he believed, to help him. And he cried aloud. And promising that he will become a monk. And 2 weeks later, Luther entered the monastery to become what? A monk. To the Augustinian order of hermits to become a monk. That's where Luther entered. And there he taught to fear God and to so-called demons. That in a way he thought that these demons were the ones that were controlling his life, or that he was possessed or surrounded by demons. And his sense of sin and guilt deepened to the point that he eagerly set about to free himself of sin, to save his soul by his own good works. Now, if there is one thing that we know for a fact, is that are we saved by merits? But there he was, this monk. Maybe God used that light or that thunder and lightning to, in a way, wake him up. But his thoughts were, I will become a monk. But while he was a monk, he said, how can I liberate myself from sin? How can I save myself, in other words, from sin? So he dropped from no sacrifice, whether physical pain or mental stress, in his quest to attain God's approval. Later, Luther said, and these are his own words, I was, he said, a good monk. If ever a monk got to heaven by his monkery, it was I. These are actually his own words. If I had kept on any longer, I should have killed myself with vigils, reading, and other work, thinking that all those things were merits to himself to be saved. But despite his rigorous effort to satisfy what he thought to be an angry God, Luther never felt the ledger, or in a way, he understood that the harder he tried to become free from sin, to save himself, he realizes that the more sinful he has become. So, do you believe that you could satisfy God with all the things that you do? Does man receive forgiveness and eternal life by doing more good than bad? Almost every religion, believe it or not, outside Christianity, teaches just that. For instance, in India, men walk on shoes or spikes, believing that by torturing their bodies, they can earn God's favor. Can they earn God's favors by doing that? Flagellants beat and bruise their bodies with whips and chains. Walkers seek favor by unusual acts of physical abuse, thinking that by this kind of acts, they will be forgiven and they will be safe. Buddhists believe they gain merit for a future life by building. What do you think? Pagodas or feeding the holy men. And for the Muslim, there is no greater joy or better way of earning favor with God than a pilgrimage to Mecca, or to die in defense or defending Islam. And you might think, what are these people thinking? But in a strange, as it may seem or may sound, my brothers and sisters, many Christians ignorantly do the same thing. They attend church. They give offerings. They're so faithful to the Lord. They follow what they call the golden rule, thinking they earn favor with God and receive eternal life by doing so. And even among us, we think that by being kindness, we think that by participating, we think that by serving, we think that by coming every single Sabbath to church, we will earn salvation like if we're winning an Olympic medal. Working hard, my brothers and sisters, sacrificing, straining every spiritual muscle, anything that you might think is not going to earn you merits to be saved. Luther tried, and you could read the whole story about Luther. He tried, but he finally concluded that if forgiveness depends on his own work, he was a lost man. And I want to tell you, my brothers and sisters, that if you think that forgiveness depends on your own work and your own doing, you are completely lost. Luther tried to turn to church, which promised forgiveness through indulgences, penance, and even gift. When Luther was actually selected to head to a delegation to Rome in 1510, Luther was overjoyed because that was the first time that he had, in a way, visited Rome since he had become a monk. No city on earth has so many holy relics or spiritual indulgence than Rome. Here was his chance to earn merit and secure the peace he so much desired. And this is how Luther describes it. These are his own words. Look at what he said. In Rome, I was a frantic saint. I ran through all the churches and catacombs. I celebrated several masses and almost regretted that my father and my mother were still living, for I would have liked to redeem them from purgatory with my masses and other good works and prayers. So, here we have this monk, determined to earn all the merits with God he could while in Rome. Luther climbed Pilate's staircase on hands and knees. For those of you that might not know what the Pilate's staircase are, that's where people go and actually pay penance. And those stairs, which are composed of 28 steps, my brothers and sisters, are not soft, are not carpeted. They're solid in concrete, but mostly very rough, to the point that even when you take the first step, you'll be already bleeding. And there he is. But even as he climbed the stairs, a disturbing thought will not go away. He was doing it. He was trying to find his way. But God, in a mighty way, was telling him something. He was impressing. Through the Holy Spirit, he was impressing his heart in a different way. To the point that he realized, and he said, "Is this the way to forgiveness?" And at the top of the stair, Luther stood rigid and voiced his question. Who knows whether it is so. Who knows if by doing this, basically he was asking, I'm going to be safe. And that nagging doubt, my brothers and sisters, followed Luther back to the monastery in Germany, where he searched the scripture as never before, determined to find the answer to this most important question. How is man saved? And he was determined to the point that he even closed himself, finding discernment, finding a way to understand. And he studied the Word of God day by day, hour by hour, until the Holy Spirit, God led him to the book of Rome. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. What does it say? The just shall live by what? By what? By faith. So instead of seeking forgiveness by work, such as prayers, vigils, scourging and climbing stairs and hands and on his hands and knees, Luther found and looked the simple steps of faith given by God in his holy word. So if I were to ask you today, where those men could find salvation, what will you say? Where can you seek salvation? In the things you do? Because you are a given servant to the Lord? Because you preach? Where? The same place where Luther found the answer. The answer is only where? The Bible and the Word of God. Thus, remember I mentioned last sermon that I said, if you trust in your GPS, wouldn't you trust more in the Word of God? If you trust that your GPS will take you to your final destination, my brothers and sisters, the Bible said that our destination is not this world, because our destination is to be in heaven with whom? With Jesus, our Lord and Savior. So do you trust that this, the Holy Scripture, the Bible, will lead you to your final destination? I do. Here we have Luther. He found the right answer. Because if I know one thing, my brothers and sisters, all the answers are in the Bible. Amen? And even if there is no answer, well, the Bible tells you that there is no answer. Even if you don't have the right answer. So, my brothers and sisters, the first step to eternal life, Luther recognizes that is not based on all the things that he do. It wasn't based on all the works. It wasn't based on because he will go and pay indulgence or penance or gift or work for the Lord day by day, every day. He understood that. Why? Because the Word of God taught him and in a way showed him that there is no righteous. The Bible said that there is not even a single one. So no matter what you try, my brothers and sisters, no matter what you do, none of your works and merits will earn you your ticket to be part of heaven or to be saved. And that included even Paul and Martin Luther that understood. And that includes you and myself, my brothers and sisters. There's nothing that we can do. Then you might be asking your question, wait a minute. But I'm a good person. I come to church every day. I don't do bad. I don't steal. I don't kill. I don't commit adultery. I'm a good neighbor. I even share what I have with the poor. Yes, and I'm tell you, yeah, that might be true. And even if we lie, cheat, or gossip, even if we are unkind or uncaring, what Jesus is telling you, that you are a sinner, that I am a sinner. If I were to ask you this morning, have you ever disliked someone? Huh? And be truthful. Because if we know one thing, just like our brother Jalon preached last Sabbath about, you can mock God because God knows your heart. God knows your mind. So don't tell me that you haven't disliked someone. Don't tell me that maybe one way you even dislike the pastor or the church elders or your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Don't tell me that you haven't even if it was a white lie, right? Parents, have you ever been cross with your children? Impatient with your husband or wife? I think a lot of you might have been down that road. Or even you are in that road right now. Have you ever wished you have your neighbor's car or house? Enough to be willing to steal if you have the chance. That makes you, my brothers and sisters, a lawbreaker. And you know what the Bible says about that? Whoever, the Bible says, commits sin also commits what? Lawlessness. And sin is what? Also of our land, there is a obedience, my brothers and sisters. For the wages of sin is what? It is death. And you can't save yourself from that. I can't save myself from that. Luther learned that he couldn't, even though he tried. Paul understood that he couldn't. That's why he gave himself to Jesus. That's why Martin Luther gave himself to study in the Word of God. And that's where he found the truth, the right answer. You see, we have all sinned, my brothers and sisters. No doubt about that. In fact, if we only commit three, if you commit, let's just do some math. Who likes math here? I like math. Let's just think about, let's just do a math equation right now. And this is a simple. It's just like addition. How about that? Let's say that you and I, individually, we sin three times a day. Three times a day. Okay? If you multiply three times a day for 365. That gives you 1,105. Multiply now 1,905 times the years that you are, how old you are. Shocking, isn't it? And then you said, yeah, but I'm a good person. My brother, the only thing that you need, just like what Luther and Paul did, to recognize that you're a sinner. And because you're a sinner, there is nothing that you could do for yourself to save yourself. Just like someone or a person who has cancer, right? If the person never recognized his condition or her condition, or saw like medical assistance, that person would die right away. But by recognizing, maybe that person will live a few more days or years. But my brothers and sisters, the first step for you to realize where you could seek salvation, you need to seek aid where? Where you need to? In the Holy Scripture. There is no other place that you could find it. Isaiah says that by your iniquity has separated you from your God. Who separated you? It's not like people said, oh God, you abandoned me when you're struggling, when you're in the midst of death. Because what it says here, who has separated you? Your what? Your iniquity. So your own, yourself, you, me, we are the ones that separate from God. It's not God. Because God is always there, my brothers and sisters. He's always there. His promises will never change. And He has promised us that He will be with us until when? Until the end. And God will keep His promise. So your iniquities have separated you and me from the Lord. So our own doing, right? Sin. But how many of you say amen, knowing that God is the source of life? And all you need to do is to have that relationship with God. I just want you to remember that it was rebellion that led us to sin, that led us to be condemned, to be guilty. And that's why we had to die. You see, Paul puts it, this way. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death is spread to all men because all what? All sin. Each one of us. What a problem we have, my brothers and sisters. All of us are sinners. And there's no one that could attest and said that he or she is not a sinner. We all are. And we are all under the sentence of death. But a God of love did not tell us the result of sin without giving us the hope for salvation. And how many of you say amen? Because that's the great news. Amen? That even though you and I are sentenced to death, you and I are sentenced, condemned to die, the good news is that there is someone, okay? Someone that is worthy, someone that, yes, what he did, his merits were worth it to save humanity. Amen. Yes, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's what the Word of God says. Amen? So what do you need to do to be saved? Did you get it? Did you get what the Bible says? For the wages of sin is death. But what? But the gift of God is what? Eternal life. How many of you say amen? In this text, Luther discovered that eternal life is a gift. It's not something that you will earn. It is a gift. It is not something that you will deserve because of all the things you do. For by grace, the Bible said, by grace, you have been what? Saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of our works. So nothing that you do, this is your answer, my brothers and sisters, and this is what Luther found. Nothing, absolutely nothing that you do will earn you salvation. Nothing. You cannot save yourself by your own works, my brothers and sisters. You must depend on God's grace. Amen? God's love and favor, which are free. If you could earn salvation, it will not be a gift like the Bible said. How many of you have received gifts? Huh? Amen? Suppose your employer give you an envelope and said he had a gift for you. If you discover your paycheck for the past 2 weeks inside, will that be a gift? You work for it, right? So you earn it. So it's not a gift. But the Bible said that salvation is what? It's free. It's a gift. You don't have to work all your life to earn salvation. Because it is by grace. It is by the love of God that we are saved. You may wondering why the mighty God who rules the universe will be concerned about people on a planet that is coming to an end. Why? Because God is what? And that's the thing that we don't understand, my brothers and sisters. It is love that sustain this universe. It is love, if you remember, it is love, the reason why Satan has not been destroyed yet. It is love why Adam and Eve were not destroyed immediately when they sinned. It is the love. It is the love of God. Something that we don't understand. And that's why we don't understand. Wait a minute. If I'm unworthy, if there is no righteous in this world, why am I going to be saved? Because of what? Because of love. God's love for man who is terminally ill with disease of sin, my brothers and sisters, perhaps can best be understood. But maybe this simple illustration. A young couple bring their baby home from the hospital. Within a few days, the infant begins to cry day and night, and severe stomach ache is what caused the baby to cry. The parents follow the doctor's advice, and they do everything, but nothing seems to help. They walk the floor with the baby until they are exhausted, but not once do they consider giving the child away or leaving her to suffer alone. Will you do as a father, as a parent? Why? Why do you think that? Because they love the little helpless child, my brothers and sisters. And that is the same thing. God suffers, my brothers and sisters, when we sin. And He knows that we're helpless. And that's why He's there for us to help us. Amen. He's there. All you need to do is to seek Him. His children on planet Earth develop the disease of sin, and we know that. Pain, suffering, and all the things that we're going to encounter in this world. But my brothers and sisters, God our Father had never have even considered to leave us, to abandon us. As a matter of fact, 2 Peter, it says, the Lord is what? Long-suffering. Man, and how long is that? Since creation, right? Since the beginning, because it was in creation that man what? Sin. But even that before, if you think about when the enemy rebelled in heaven, even it started there. So has God, is God alone suffering? He is, my brothers and sisters. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to what? Repentance. Regardless of how good or bad, regardless to how you are, or how sinful you are, regardless of how many sins, you might have committed. Because He is a God of justice. Amen? And why do we know that? Why do we know that God is a God of justice? Because the Word of God says it. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing what? The guilt or the guilty. So not only God could take away your fear, but it is God, the same one, who's going to take and remove what? Your guilt. If you are bad children, don't think that because you're going to get good grades, you're going to behave, you're going to obey. That's why your parents are going to give you the allowance. Many parents do, right? But they give it to you because you do something. But the Bible says that in order for us to be saved, the only thing that we have to do, my brothers and sisters, the only thing that we have to do, okay, is what? Accept it. Is that hard? Accept it. If you want to be saved, the only thing you need to do is to accept it. Accept it that you are going to be saved. Accept the salvation that only comes from Jesus. God is loving, forgiving, compassionate, my brothers and sisters. He cannot change His law. And how many of you say amen? He cannot change it. He cannot make wrong right. So those who sin will die because they separate themselves from the essence of life, from God. Is there no solution? Oh yes, my brothers and sisters, there is a solution. A loving God found a way to save us, and still His patience. He's still suffering for us. Why? Because of love. For God so loved the world, says the Bible. And what else? That He gave us His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but what? But everlasting life. And Romans chapter 5, 19 says, and we're coming to the conclusion, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be what? Righteous. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Thanks to His wisdom, my brothers and sisters, you could overcome fear. But mostly, my brothers and sisters, you could overcome guilt. Thanks to God. You know, in the past, you know how men used to sacrifice animals. In the Old Testament, you may read it, you know, men used to, you know, sacrifice innocent people. Why? Because that was leading to someone, right? If we were like living in the Old Testament these days, you know, the only thing for you to, for your sins to be forgiven is that you needed to bring an animal, a sacrificial animal, to the tabernacle. So that way, you know, that was the only way that you could be forgiven. But praise God that we don't have to do that no more, right? We don't have to do that. Because thanks to that, the Bible said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away what? The sin of the world. So not animals. Just an animal. Keep in mind that there's nothing that you are going to be able to do to save yourself. You have no merits. Because you and I deserve to die. Because we are sinners. But the only thing that the Bible encourages you and I is that we are to believe. Amen? We are to believe that there was one that was righteous above anybody. And that was Jesus. That was Jesus who died on the cross. That was Jesus who died not just for innocent people. That was Jesus that died for all men that were guilty. And you are guilty, my brother, my sister. You are guilty. I'm guilty. But thanks to Jesus. Thanks to Jesus, we can be saved. Amen? So there is one thing that you and I could do. And that is to have faith in Jesus, my brothers and sisters. To remain faithful to Him until the end. Not by doing all the works. Because that faith that we have in Him, that love, that will transform our faith. Our faith, it will be the one that will lead our path. And that will be a path of faithfulness. Amen? In serving Him. In preaching the gospel. In being faithful to Him. In being good Christians. But not because those things are going to save us. It's because we believe in Jesus. And we want to be obedient to His truth. Amen. How many of you would like to be saved? Believe, my brothers and sisters. Have faith in Jesus Christ. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank You, Lord, for Your truth. We want to thank You, Father, because You, because of Your love, because of your mercy, but because of your grace, man who has been condemned, who has been bound, chained in sin, even though we have to die, Father, because of that, we thank you and we praise you because you already have the solution to that. You gave your only begotten Son, Lord, to die for us. The only one who was able, the only one who is worthy. Oh, Father, there is fear. This world, instead of becoming clear, is becoming more dark. And even though, Lord, we might be struggling, even though we might not have the faith that you want us to have, but how important it is, Lord, that even if we have that little faith, just like the mustard seed, that is sufficient. Oh, Father, we want to thank you, Lord, because it is through you. It is because of your love that we could be saved. Father, I want to ask that you bless each of my brothers and sisters. That you bless their lives. That you continue through the power of the Holy Spirit, giving them the strength, but mostly to believe that it is through Jesus that we are saved. And that Jesus is preparing that place for us, Lord. And even though we're going to die here, we know that there is that beautiful place that is prepared for all of us. Father, you are a long-suffering God. You are suffering because we are disobedient to you. You are suffering, Father, because we are unbelievers. Even though we know the truth is there, but we don't want to believe. But Lord, you are patience. You are patience with all of us. And we thank you for that, Father. Remove the fear that we might have. But mostly, Father, thank you because you cleared our sins so that way we can find ourselves when you returned unguilty of the sin. So, Father, be with each father here today. Be with each children. And as we go on our separate ways, Father, we go knowing that we have spent time with you. We know going that we have salvation in Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.